take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Let's turn over there to Genesis chapter number 18 tonight. Genesis chapter number 18. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Genesis chapter number 18. We have been reading and studying through the book of Genesis for some time now. When I have the opportunity to preach on Sunday night, we've had a lot of missionaries come through this year, which has been a blessing to us all. I thought Brother Robert Bottom was truly a blessing to us last week when he gave his testimony and preached to us, and I appreciate the Lord sending him our way. But I want you to pick up with me in Genesis chapter number 18. And we just finished up chapter number 17, where the Lord is confirming to Abraham and changing his name and Sarah's name, and how that God is going to make him a father of a multitude. And yet he still has only Ishmael. And God says, I'm not going to use him to fulfill my promise. I'm going to use a son that Sarah will conceive, and you will name him Isaac. So the Lord's got it all planned out and laid out. He said, this is the way it's going to be. The Lord is speaking it as if it's already done. And surely it will come to pass. And see, that's what the Bible really means when it says that his word will not return void. Now, that means that when the Lord says this is the way it's going to be, that is the way it's going to be. But I want you to look at Genesis chapter 18. Ask you a question tonight. Do you, when you read your Bible, do we read, or do you read and do we read what we believe into the passages of Scripture? Or do we believe what we read? Do you understand the difference here? Sometimes you can put some goggles on and some glasses on, and you've already made your mind up about some things as you open up your Bible and you read what you believe into the Scriptures, rather than allowing the Scriptures to just simply be believed when you read them. So be careful about that, all right? No man has the right to any private interpretation of the Word of God. We are to read it and believe it. And I'll be honest with you, I do believe what I read. I don't always understand what I read, but I do my very best to understand it. And I believe the Lord does help us. Now, I want you to look here in Genesis 18. As we mentioned this morning in Acts chapter 2, there were some questions that had to be answered. And there actually are two or three questions in this chapter. This chapter is divided up, so we may, let's just go as far as we can, and then we'll stop tonight where the Lord would have us to. I don't want to try to cover the whole chapter because it moves in different directions here and different subjects. But I do want you to notice in verse number 14, before we read our passages, notice something that this is the Lord speaking, one of his angels speaking, and he says in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? All right. And then you'll notice with me in verse number 23, Abraham asked a question. Verse 23 says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's a good question. There are many things laid out in the book of Genesis that hold to be true throughout the whole Bible. This book reveals, especially the book of Genesis, it reveals the nature of God. It reveals the heart of God and the hand of God. And if you'll notice down in verse number 25, at the end of that verse, he asked another question. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, I think I could answer that right up front. I know that God will always do what is right. But he is actually, you might say, provoking the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to do right in this situation. And so you better be careful how you talk to the Lord, but he did get the Lord's attention. And so I want you to look in Genesis 18 with me in verse number 1. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. I really do want our youth, our teenagers, our young adults, I really do want you to read this with me, and I want you to believe it. And I want you to see some things about the God that your mother and father, that your pastor, that your grandparents truly believe in. And I believe they would tell you tonight when you go home and you get ready to go to bed, if y'all talk about God, if you pray, I believe they will tell you that they believe in the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, that he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis 18, verse number 1, what you're looking at here now is that you are looking at visitors coming to the earth from another dimension. Now, you might say they might even be coming from another location in space or another, I don't believe it's another planet, but you are looking at some visitors from another world. That world is invisible to us at this time. Now, it's not invisible to everyone that has walked this earth. I remember Elijah asking God to open the eyes of his servant when they were being surrounded by the Assyrians, and the servant was fearful, and the servant of God said, hey, Elijah said, Lord, would you open this guy's eyes and help him to see that there are more with us than there are with them? And all the servant saw was just a handful of them fighting a great army. But when the Lord opened that servant's eyes, that servant could see into another dimension that we cannot see into and we're not allowed to see into. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he was able to see chariots of fire on the horizon. You say, I don't believe that stuff. Well, I feel sorry for you because I believe what the Bible says. I do, honestly and sincerely, and I pray that you would as well. So, let's look at this. Look in verse 1. The Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham is taking a break. Got his tent up in the desert, and probably got, you might say, a little bit of a hang, a tent with a little bit of a porch on it. And he's sitting out there in the shade, and lo and behold, three men suddenly appear there in his presence. And the scripture says this, and he says in verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, there's something about these men that Abraham recognizes. These are not just weary travelers that have come from afar. He recognizes, and by the way, Abraham is a guy that's pretty powerful, and he's very wealthy, and he is the guy who took his trained servants later that he had trained and went and saved his nephew. So he's a warrior, he's a wealthy man, and well known. And so he's not somebody who would be afraid of three guys that would just show up on his front porch, is what I'm trying to tell you. And so the scripture says here that he bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now we know according to Genesis 17 and Genesis 15 and Genesis 12, there are different times when the Lord appeared to Abraham. We don't know exactly how he did this, but he recognizes out of these three, two leave and one stays, and he recognizes him as the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And so, what do these guys look like? I mean, are they just something out of a sci-fi movie and they're just glowing? I think not. The Bible says that they had the appearance of men. Of men. And they are three. And the three speak as one, because when he speaks to them in their response, it says, and they said. They said. And so these three beings, angels, you say, are they angels? I believe the Bible will define itself. If you'll give it time, I think it will explain itself. Because a little bit later on, two of these guys leave. In Genesis 19, verse 1, it says these two guys are angels. And when they go into Sodom, and those Sodomites want and recognize these as men, and they want to know these men. And so, obviously, they have the clear appearance of men. Not only that, but these men, these beings from another world, have the capability of eating our food. And whatever body they possess, they have the ability, I guess, to eat anybody's cooking. I mean, because here they are, they're partaking of this. Look what happens here. I mean, when I read this, and it just amazes me. You know, if the world were to read this, and if you were to read this on the news tonight, they would say that probably that these were aliens from another world that has invaded the earth. That's probably the way they would interpret it. Or they'd say it was a fairy tale and make-believe. But I believe that God has revealed himself through his word. And here we have in the book of Genesis. And by the way, if you don't believe the book of Genesis, then you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ verifies the book of Genesis often in quoting from it. I don't think you would call the Lord Jesus a liar, would you? Surely you would not. The word of God here says that these three men, let's read on here, and lift up his eyes and he saw them, okay? Verse 3, and he said, my Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you your hearts, after that you shall pass on, and therefore are you come to your servant. And it said, now notice what it says, and they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. Now listen, I appreciate Sarah not arguing with her husband right there. Said, honey, do you know what time it is? We don't eat like this until late in the afternoon. We don't eat this kind of food in the middle of the day. She's not arguing with him. She just goes and does what he says. And what a blessing to have a good wife. I just says, you know, hey, okay, honey, I don't have to understand everything that's going on. I don't know who these guys are. But I know one thing Sarah is doing. She is, she's eavesdropping on this conversation, on what's going on. And the scripture says in verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. And, you know, I think Sarah could have said, honey, I know how to fix food. What are you trying to tell me what to do here? I mean, that's not like a normal conversation that might take place in a home. I know how to fix food. You just tell me what you want. But she didn't do that. Verse 7. And Abraham ran unto the herd. Now, he's got servants. He's got a lot of servants. He says, He says, I'm going to get the best, fetch a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. So I want you to emphasize something tonight about angels. You do understand these are angels. One of them is the angel of the Lord. He's called the Lord. He's representing the Lord here. According to the book of Hebrews, there are times when you entertain a stranger and you're not even aware that you are actually having a conversation with an angel. Do you believe that? Do you believe the word of God? Is it possible that the Lord would send one across your path? If so, there's always a reason of why he is doing that. He doesn't do that just to visit. He does it because he calls them ministering spirits. And they have usually something to do. And so look at this with me now. These guys are in unity. Again, I mentioned in verse 5, they said, verse 9, and they said unto him. You know, it's almost a type here of the Trinity. It really is. It's like 3 in 1, and they are speaking together, and they have one mind, and they have one thought here of accomplishing something. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee. Now these are these angels speaking now. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. You got to think about how special Abraham is for heaven to gather these three together and said, okay, you guys are going to visit planet Earth and you're going to tell this man that this woman is going to have a son. Hey, listen, women all over the earth at that time were conceiving and having children, but not like this situation. And the Bible says this is God's man. This is God's plan. This is God choosing his family. This is God producing a miraculous seed through Sarah. And then from whence would come eventually the seed of David and eventually Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And the Bible says here that Sarah heard it in the tent door. Ladies, have you ever been listening when maybe you shouldn't have been listening? It'd be hard not to, wouldn't it? I mean, there you are living out in the desert and three strangers show up. It'd be hard not to listen in on what's going on, especially when you hear your name being mentioned. Well, the scripture says she did hear her name, and verse number 11 says, and Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him, and now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now that just simply means she's already gone through the stage of menopause and she cannot bear a child. That's all that means. Okay? Not naturally. Not normally. And then verse 12 says, therefore Sarah laughed, now look at this, within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Now she's just laughing inside. Like, are you kidding me? That's not going to happen. Now Abraham laughed earlier in the other chapter when the Lord told him this was going to happen. But it was a different kind of laughter because he did not get rebuked for his laughter. You know what you laugh at? And how you laugh tells a lot about your attitude and your spirit, doesn't it? There's mocking laughter. And there's sarcastic laughter. I can't hardly get away with just a sarcastic look at my house around my children. They'll look at me and say, Dad, what are you thinking? I can tell. I said, I'm innocent this time. No, you're not. We can tell. Or just a little smirk. You know, do you ever have a little smirk on your face and they can recognize it and you try to get rid of it before you get in trouble? Abraham laughed as if, with joy, as if, man, this is awesome. And he laughed at the promise of God with joy, I think, because God didn't get on to him. But here's Sarah. And God saying, we're going to visit, listen, we're going to come back, what you're basically saying is we're going to come back in about 9 months to a year and she's going to have a baby. And she's over there saying, oh, give me a break. I really believe that's what she's doing, but she's doing it in her heart. She's not out there, you know, mocking them or laughing at them. It's in her heart. All right, again, this tells some things to you about God now. Because the Bible says in verse number 12, it says Sarah laughed within herself, saying, in other words, she's talking to herself. I told you that it's good sometimes to talk to yourself, but you need to talk good to yourself. And the Bible says, saying, after I am waxed old, shall this end? And so anyway, verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, now notice it says again, L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah. It says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Why did Sarah laugh when I told you that? And here's what the Lord said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. You didn't hear me laugh. I didn't do that. For she was afraid and said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You think God knows what's going on inside your heart? You think that God sees inside of you when I say something from the Bible that is true, and you in your heart you say, psh, yeah, that's true for other people, but that ain't true for me. You think God didn't see that? You think God doesn't know that? You think the Lord cannot read your mind and the thoughts and the intents of your heart? That's why you got to guard it when you're in the house of God. You got to be careful what you think and how you behave yourself in the house of the Lord. Don't be found to be a skeptic and a mocker while you're sitting in the house of the Lord. And if you're having a hard time believing what you hear, ask God to forgive you of your unbelief and to help you to receive it and believe it. And the scripture says, she said, nay, but thou did. She said, hey, I didn't do that. He said, oh, yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you did. Nay, but thou didst laugh. So in this passage here, the question is, in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes I think some folks' heads are too hard for the Lord. Sometimes I think some folks' hearts are too hard for the Lord. But that's wrong. That's not true. But I do know this. If you harden your heart and you harden your head, you keep doing that, you'll be like Pharaoh and God will harden it harder for you. In Genesis chapter 18, I want you to consider something. You got your hand right there in Genesis 18. Would you turn to Jeremiah 32, please? Jeremiah 32. I want to show you something about what Jeremiah said. Look in Jeremiah 32. It's one thing that I believe in my heart when I go to God in prayer, and that is that God is able to change things. Isn't that awesome to know that? That God is able to change things? That gives me hope. God's able to change things. Look in Jeremiah 32. And this is where Jeremiah was told by God to purchase some land, and because God made a promise that to the Jews when he sent them into Babylonian captivity that he would bring them back to their land. And so he told Jeremiah to go buy a parcel of land, and he did, and he brought the deed to one of the skeptics and the unbelievers named Baruch here. And I think maybe that might be where they got the previous, one of those presidents that we used to have's name. I'm not sure. But Baruch, it says here, but notice he says in verse number 17, or verse 16. I want to make sure I get this right. Verse 16. This is Jeremiah talking to this man. And he said, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That ought to give every mother and father some hope tonight. Hannah could not have a child, and she went before God in agony. Year after year, she went to God, and she cried out to God. And one time, she cried out to God, and God heard her prayer, and God gave her a son. She vowed that she'd give that child back to God, and she did. And God gave her more children. God gave her more than what she asked for. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What a blessing it is to know. You know what Gabriel said to Mary when she was just a young virgin that she was going to conceive and bear Emmanuel? And of course, I think we all would have said, gosh, I don't know about this, Lord. I've not known a man. But the angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Jesus said to his men in Matthew 19, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Luke said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's why sometimes when you and I are conversing and we're talking about serious things in your life, things that you're praying about and you just can't see how it's going to work out, and sometimes people will say to you, well, this and this and this, and I will say this and I mean it. I say, yes, but with us, it's what I call the God factor. The God factor. Because in our lives, we serve a true and a living God, and there is nothing too hard for Him. Now listen, because it's possible doesn't mean He's going to do your bidding as if you're pulling up at Burger King and you want everything done your way. God is not your servant. He is your sovereign. The only thing, though, that really lies outside the possibility of prayer is when you ask something that is outside the will of God and that is contrary to the Word of God. Everything else inside of that is possible. So I hope that you'll believe these things. Okay, let's go back. I hope you kept your hand there in Genesis 18. But I want you to see, Jesus said that all things are possible to him that believeth. Hey, you remember the acronym ASK that Jesus taught us? A-S-K. You remember what he told his men? He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. A-S-K. Ask. Seek. And knock. And you keep asking. And you keep seeking. And you keep knocking. Jesus said the one that asks shall receive. The man that seeks or woman that seeks shall find. And the one that knocks and knocks and knocks, he says, it will be opened. And I'm just here to say that sometimes the first time I ask, he does not respond. At least I don't think he's responded fast enough. So it causes me to seek. And when you start seeking after God, you know what you start doing? You start looking around inside your heart, your mind, and your conscience and make sure that everything is right between you and God, that there's no reason why the Lord would say no. You seek your heart and make sure and you probe yourself and you do a what you might say an inventory of your own heart, your own life. And when that is clear, then you just keep knocking and knocking, and you go to God, and you ask Him, and you ask Him. And you know what I love to say to God when I'm praying sometimes? I like to talk to Him like Jeremiah did when he reminded, and when he was praying to God about His nature. I like to tell Him, I say, Father, I do believe that You are the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And now when I say that, it means that He's the God of the impossible, and that God can do anything, even the things that are too hard for me and you to do. I say, Lord, I do believe that You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say, I come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that Your eyes are over the righteous and Your ears are open unto our prayers. I don't believe it's my righteousness. I believe it's the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that gives me the opportunity to go to God the Father. And Ethan, when I pray for you, when I pray for your mom and dad, not your brother and your sister and your little brother, when I pray for your cousins and your uncle and your aunts, I go before God and I just keep asking and I keep seeking and I keep knocking. And I'm not satisfied where their lives are. I'm thankful for some things in their lives, but I'm not satisfied where they are with God. You understand? So I keep asking and I keep seeking and I keep knocking. And I say, Lord, You know, You said, we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask Him? And He said, if we being evil know how to give good things unto our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask Him? And I'm here to tell you that you ought to use the Word of God. Jeremiah did. Daniel did. Nehemiah did. Use the Word of God. Paul did. Use the Word of God when you're asking God for something. Go back to Genesis chapter number 18. Look with me there. When he said in verse number 14, we're talking about an old woman. Now listen, she's still pretty according to the scriptures, but she is up in years. She's probably close to 90. We have any 90-year-old women in here tonight? No, you wouldn't raise your hand if you were, would you? How about 80? Raise your hand. Are you 80? All right, we got one. Anybody else? So you don't have to be ashamed of being 80. God's blessed you. God's blessed you. He has. So would it be a shock to you if I got up next Sunday morning and I announced to you that Sister Janet is pregnant? I think that it would be a shock to her. And yet we would know that it would have to be by the hand of the Lord. And so here is Sarah, and she's saying, man, this ain't be true. And boy, I tell you what, there's something that gets God's attention, and you need to listen carefully to this, and that is when he looks in your heart and he sees that unbelief. It grieves him. When you hear preachers preach about when Jesus wept, remember that passage over there when Lazarus was in the tomb and he's meeting up with all the family, and they're saying, Lord, why didn't you show up several days ago? Don't you know, if you'd have got here earlier, he'd be alive and all that. And it says, and Jesus wept. And I've heard preachers say it's because men, it's just because Lazarus, he's not worried about Lazarus being dead. I'll tell you what he's weeping over. He's weeping over the unbelief that is surrounding him right there in that situation. He is grieved by some of the things that they are saying to him. You know what grieves the Holy Ghost? It's my unbelief. Did you know that unbelief is a choice? You understand that, don't you? I pray tonight that you would choose to believe. Why don't you choose life? What you got to lose? Choose to believe. What's unbelief going to get you? You're just going to stay in misery. Why don't you choose to believe? Choose to believe God. And the Bible says here in verse number 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I think that that is a rhetorical question with an obvious answer. You agree? I don't know what a rhetorical question is. Well, if somebody asked you a question that they didn't really expect you to answer, because obviously you should know the answer. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. And the Bible says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid, and said, nay, but thou didst laugh. God knows all. Verse 16, it says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. Boy, we're changing channels here, aren't we? Going in a totally different direction now. God has made a promise. God's confirmed this promise. Sarah has heard this promise, but it has not yet come to pass. Verse 16 says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? This is an interesting statement right here about Abraham that you need to pay attention to. He says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. He's only got one boy, and really he's illegitimate as far as God is concerned. That's Ishmael. But God's talking to these other two. Have you ever thought about, this is a strange passage of scripture to me. I think about Genesis chapter number 1, and through 3, when it's talked to all the conversation that's going on in God's creation, and then the Lord said, let us make man in our image. That's an interesting statement. Let us make man in our image. And here, He's talking to these other two. They appear to be men. One of them uses the name the Lord. Abraham is going to address one of them as the Lord. The other two are recognized as angels. And the scripture says this in verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God sees way down the road. He says in verse 19, for I know him. You think the Lord knows you? That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. It sheds a lot of light here, at least it does for me. You know the Bible says, did you know the Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him? And there are some things that God will reveal to men who walk in the fear of God that he will not reveal to those who walk in their flesh and their own self-will and things of that nature, that yes, God will speak to a man's heart that loves him. By the way, Abraham is called the friend of God. The friend of God. Don't friends tell their hearts to each other? Don't friends trust each other with inside information? And here's what he does. Abraham, the friend of God. Verse 18, this is what he shall be. God sees what Abraham shall be. Can I say to you tonight, you only see what you are, but God sees what you shall be. You only see what you are, and you may not even like what you see, but God sees what you shall be. And the scripture here says that he's going to be a blessing to others for centuries. And he says, for I know him. He says what he shall be. And verse 19, he sees what he is. Very revealing. How much light did men have in that day? If you were an FBI agent or a CIS agent, you would have to follow the clues, and you'd probably do some backtracking and look for little things that would let you know what actually happened, and you'd put it all together. Can I tell you that God will drop nuggets of truth in the scriptures and in the book of Genesis to let you know, and in the book of Job to let you know how much light this generation, these people had. These were not knuckle-dragging Neanderthal cavemen. These were very intelligent men that had much light about God. Let me show you how much light they had. He says in verse 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his whole household after him, which just means that he's a man and that he will show leadership. When God wants to use someone, he will use a man that shows some leadership in his home. Do you understand? If you want to lead in other places, learn to lead at home. All right? And he says this, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Well, Brother Scott, how did he know the way of the Lord? How could he command his children after him? How could he teach them something? What did he know about the ways of the Lord? Where did he get it from? He didn't have an Old Testament. He didn't have the law of Moses. He didn't have the New Testament. So where did he get all this information? And God is confident that he knows what is right. You know how I know that? Because he said this. that he'll keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And boy, the Bible is very clear that God prefers justice and judgment over sacrifice. God prefers that you do what is right, show some mercy and justice. And verse number 19 said, and good judgment. And he said that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So here's what I see about that. God looks for men who will command their household, which means lead, commit their ways to the Lord, which means they follow him, and they complete the will of God, which means they are finishers. That's what God is looking for in a man. Here he is to do justice and judgment. But let me show you how much light, and I'm done tonight. We'll stop right here. How much light did he have? Do you remember Noah? How many boys did Noah have? Three. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Those boys lived on the other side of the flood, right? And they got on the boat, they got off the boat, and they lived. And while they were alive, Abraham was born. One of those boys, Shem, outlived Abraham by 33 years. Consider the insight and the knowledge and the experience that Shem had of what he saw on the other side. What did he see on the other side? Well, on the days before the flood, he heard the preaching of Enoch that the Lord was going to come with great judgment with thousands of his angels. According to the book of Jude, he heard the preaching of Enoch. He saw the flaming sword at the Garden of Eden that would not allow men to go back into that garden. He had to ask why. Every teenage boy would have asked, why not? The story of the fall of man and sin and death was known by these men. How about the curse on Cain? They knew about that. How about the great and mighty flood? And the animals that came upon the ark, they saw the hand of God draw those animals and place them on this great ark. They saw their father with the fear of God in his eyes and said, boys, we're going to build a large ship. And they said, Dad, it's never rained before. He said, son, we fear God and we're going to do this. And they did it year after year after year. They labored and no rain fell year after year. And probably according to the New Testament, they mocked those boys back in those days. Those guys saw that. And then when they got on that ship and God closed the door and the rain began to fall and then the judgment of God, cataclysmic, upon the face of this earth. God left scars and marks all over this globe showing the judgment of God in the day of Noah. I think the Grand Canyon being one of those. And then they got off that boat and Shem walked off there with his wife and saw all the testimony of the power of God. And then he saw what happened at the Tower of Babel. When again man rebelled against God, and he's an older man by now, and he saw these men, and yet God came down again and confused the languages of men and scattered them across the globe. Yes, Abraham had much light about what God likes and what God didn't like. And that is why the Lord said to hear about Abraham, he said, listen, I know that Abraham will do what's right in my sight. I know that he will. He said, he'll do what I've commanded him to do. I wonder as the Lord looks down, I wonder how you and I have responded to the light God's given us, and can God trust us? I don't expect God to ever, ever use you or I like he did Abraham. That's a once in a lifetime and a world of lifetimes. God chose him to do what he did. But I sure would like to be a servant. I sure would like for him to trust me and to use me to to bring honor and glory to his name. I'd like to be, Brother Gary, a man that would lead correctly. I'd like to be a man that would follow the Lord. I'd like to be a man that would finish the task that God has called him to do. How about you? You want to run your race? You want to finish it? How about your fight? As Paul said, you know, that he said, I have fought a good fight. I sure would like to. Man, I feel like sometimes I've just got laid out and right about when they were just about knocked out flat and they're counting 1, 2, 3 and they get to 8 and I get up a little bit and I shake my head and about 9 I get back up on my feet and said, Lord, let's go again. I don't want to get knocked out of this fight. And sometimes you may feel like you're getting beat up more than you're landing some blows. Stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. Finish what God's called you to do. Be a good mother. Be a good father. Be a good husband. Be a good wife. Be a good employer. Be a good employee. Be a great grandfather. And I don't mean that age-wise. I'm talking about be a great grandfather. Be a great grandson. Be what God has called you to be and to do. I hope tonight, as you look through this, when you read through the book of Genesis, you know what it ought to do to you? It ought to refresh you. That you serve a living God, a true and living God, who reached down and called out a man and who has promised that he's going to produce out of that man a nation. And that nation is going to multiply. And that nation is going to magnify our God. And so as you read through the book of Genesis, it is about a man, his children, and his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren. And when you get to Jacob, he's got 12 boys, then they have a whole bunch of youngins. And then they go down to Egypt, and they multiply and multiply for 400 years. And then God says, okay, let's get them out like I told them I was going to. And God goes down, and through Moses, God pulls them out of the mightiest army that existed on the face of the earth. God pulled them out of Pharaoh and out of Egypt. He destroyed Pharaoh's army. He destroyed Pharaoh's economy. He destroyed his fame. And the world still talks about how the God of Israel is the true and living God. But God wasn't through because he had a plan. And that plan was a man, and that man was Jesus Christ, who came through the seed of Abraham, that the whole world might be blessed. You and I are sitting here tonight with a Bible, knowing God because of the promise that he gave this man way back thousands of years ago. God doesn't exist in time like we do. God's eternal. Man still works on his formulas of what time really is, and time travel, trying to figure it out. Who knows, one day they might be able to. God just kind of gives man light as he sees fit. And every time he gives him a little bit more light, more men grab a hold of it and turn it into something ugly. Amen? They do. Let's stand together, please. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you'd encourage our people to believe the Word of God, to believe that there is absolutely nothing too hard for you. And Lord, may they choose to believe that in their hearts, that there is absolutely nothing. And may, Lord, they ask and seek and knock. And may you be glorified in our families. In Jesus' name, amen.